Well, good evening and welcome to Thursday's Late Debate. I'm Katie Hannan, and with me in studio tonight we have David Cullinan, Sinn Féin TD for Waterford and party spokesperson on health, Fianna Fáil Senator Timmy Dooley, Breed Smith, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South Central, and in a nearby studio we have Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times, and in our Cork studio we're joined by Dr. Chris Luke, consultant in emergency medicine and lecturer in public health. We want to hear from you, so do please get in touch. You can text us on 51551. You can email us on latedebate@rte.ie or you can tweet to @latedebate_RTE. Now, in the last hour, we're hearing that a NPHET has asked the Cabinet to shut down indoor dining in pubs and restaurants in Dublin for the next few weeks. Given the rise in COVID-19 cases over the last 7 days, senior figures are tonight indicating that government will agree to this proposal. It would mean that these pubs and restaurants could only serve customers if they have outdoor areas for dining, or they can offer them a takeaway service. I'm joined on the line now by Adrian Cummins, CEO of the Restaurant Association of Ireland. Good evening, Adrian.
Good evening, Katie.
Did this come out of the blue for you this evening?
Absolute shock across our industry with regard to this recommendation from NPHET to close all indoor dining for restaurants and pubs that serve food in capital. It's not in restaurants where the cases are spreading, it's in households. We're saying very clearly to the Cabinet that we need to make a decision here about the livelihoods of businesses, people that work in our industry, the thousands of workers, the thousands of businesses that will be affected by this right across the capital if they bring in this decision. And we are in extreme shock and annoyance right across our industry the way that this has been announced without any prior consultation for our sector, a sector that has done everything right, controlled environments, we are regulated, and the cases are at a very, very minimum right across the country in restaurants. Over the last number of days, the medical profession have said that it is rising cases in households, have never mentioned restaurants until today.
Right, and so we should just say this is a leak that the RTÉ News, Micheál Lehane, was delivering into the news at 9 o'clock. It hasn't been, issued officially as an edict yet, and we haven't got the Cabinet's consideration on it, obviously, at this point yet, because they will be meeting, the subcommittee and the Cabinet will be meeting tomorrow. But as I say, in that leak, we're hearing that senior figures are tonight indicating that the government will agree to the proposal. What can your members do, really, except comply, Adrian?
Well, we will comply with the law, with the regulations. We will do that in the best interest of our country and our staff and our customers. But when you look at the roadmap, the roadmap says with the additional regulations, it doesn't say that indoor dining must be closed down. We haven't been. Nobody has liaised with us from any state agency, any government department, with regard to what these regulations is. The Cabinet will make a decision tomorrow. The talk is that it will be effective from tomorrow night. So, how can a business run a business with this late intervention by NPHET, late intervention by Cabinet? And we're saying to the government very, very clearly here, we're not the problem. The problem is households. But we are. If this leak is correct, we will be penalised for the sins of others.
OK, will you stay there? Because I want to put this to my panel, Adrian. Timmy Dooley. I mean, if there's restaurants all over Dublin, hopefully with bookings in their restaurants for tomorrow night, like this is a horrific bit of news for all of those people.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's only a leak, and you've rightly identified that. So I have no prior knowledge, and I'm somewhat surprised that any individual can decide what's going to happen at a cabinet. It's a tri-party government, so who knows what the outcome of that will be. But there's little doubt that the virus is spreading rapidly throughout Dublin. I think anybody that listened to Paul Reid this evening as the chief executive of the HSE must recognise that there's a very serious problem. I think he used they were on the brink. So I listened to him and public health doctors, and that doesn't take from the fact of what Adrian is saying. The hospitality sector, restaurants, pubs, the transportation sector, international travel, tourism, has been massively, massively impacted. I see it in my own constituency. I see it in the, throughout Ennis.
Address it Adrian's really point, though, because he is correct in saying that it's in homes, in private homes, that problems have been identified by public health. Is that not the case?
Well, hold on a second now. It's the case that where people congregate and meet. And yes, there has been we're told around confirmations and Holy Communions that there has been people moving between houses, and that's assisting in the spread. What's being asked of, as I understand it, and has been over time, is to try to limit to the greatest extent possible people's interaction with others. We're trying to keep schools open. I certainly want to see... I want to see kids getting out playing sports. Those kind of issues are really important. So that's where it's at. Yeah, it's really difficult on restaurants and pubs that have bookings. The state will have to provide appropriate supports in addition to what's already there. Okay. And that's the way to deal with it. But to suggest that it's the fault of homeowners, it's nobody's fault. This virus
is... No, we're not suggesting it's the fault of homeowners, but we're saying that if you're going to identify where the drivers of this virus is, there's little evidence right now that it's restaurants.
There's little evidence. And what you're suggesting is that people are meeting in their homes. Are we suggesting then that they don't meet in their homes and they move elsewhere? The idea is to reduce the level of interaction between people. That's what the public health doctors are saying.
Well, Dave, I'll let you in there, but I mean, I think the idea is that people are encouraged to meet in a kind of a structured environment where precautions are being taken and visibly being taken. But David Cullinan.
Yeah, I think Timmy misses the point entirely. It's in controlled environments where this virus is best contained. And I'm in shock as well, because this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I'm with the public health guidelines. I want this virus to be suppressed. I want us to make the right decisions. But I have to say that when you look at, and the facts, Timmy, are the facts. We get an update every single week from NPHET in terms of what is the source of outbreaks. So last week there was 158 outbreaks in this state. 0 in pubs that serve food and only 3 in restaurants. Of the 3,036 over the last 37 weeks, 9 in restaurants and 5 in pubs. Now, of that 158 outbreaks last week, over 70 came from homes and others came from workplaces. So the point is...
And how many came from the community, David?
Very few. Very
well, there's
few.
A lot more, actually. You know
14,
the facts.
14 out of that 158 from the community. But the point is, it didn't come from the controlled environments of pubs and restaurants. And the other point is this. We were promised...
Can we just clarify that? Because we don't know, of course. Those community transmissions that are unknown where they come from, we don't know where people contact them in those cases.
We may not know entirely where the community transmission comes from, but we are being told that they don't come from pubs and restaurants because they're separated out. But separate from that, of the 5 levels, Timmy, of the plan that was announced this week, we were told it would be very clear. And if there was an announcement made that a city or county would go in or up or down a level, then the restrictions would be very obvious. So when you look at level 3, which Dublin, we're being told, will now be in, it says the pubs can still open with additional restrictions. It says restaurants, cafes and pubs and bars can stay open with additional restrictions. And what's happening is Dublin is going into level 3 with the exception of pubs and restaurants where it has level 4 restrictions. Now, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It makes a mockery of what was announced this week, and that is frustrating.
I want to let Breed in because you were sitting patiently there.
Well, I was listening to Adrian, and his opening remarks, I think, sounded with me, because he said it's going to have a huge impact on their staff and the workers in the industry. And this is ironic that they're announcing more cuts to jobs on the same day that they've cut the pandemic unemployment payment. They've had serious cuts to the pandemic unemployment payment and the wage subsidy scheme. And this is going to harm tens of thousands of workers, hundreds of thousands of workers, in fact. And I just find these cuts inexplicable. They're asking for social solidarity. They're asking us to adhere to the public health guidelines. And in my experience, the vast majority of people are doing so, are willing to do so. And I was watching the Vox Pops on RTE over the last few days, and you'd be hard put to find somebody who says, I don't want to adhere to public health restrictions. But they cannot expect us all to feel that we're all in this together if they cut the payments, the meagre payments, to the pandemic unemployment and to the wage subsidy. It's going to be a massive hit on people. And remember this, the banks and the landlords are now screaming for the money that they put on moratorium during the last lockdown. And people are pinned to their collar to try and survive. And so he is right. These workers will be hit very, very hard. And it's ironic that the government are asking for this social solidarity on the same day that they are not showing it by cutting these payments.
OK, I want to go back to you, Adrian. I'm just getting a text message in here. I was in a restaurant last week in Dunleary. 20 people at a table I saw. More messages coming in. Group of people in a Kilkee pub tonight, all on top of each other, not a mask in sight. Katie in South William Street this afternoon, evening, no social distancing, hugging in the street, no police, nobody cares. In relation to that restaurant in Dunleary and the pub in Kilkee, obviously there are concerns, but public health experts have concerns, Adrian, about things that are happening in restaurants, or they wouldn't have moved to recommend this to Cabinet.
So that restaurant and that pub should be closed down immediately. That restaurant and that pub should have to wait. It should be dealt with through the legislation that has been passed around the regulations for premises that Minister Donnelly signed off on a number of weeks ago, where Gardaí can close it down immediately. And I'm also would recommend that our environmental health officers, all 500 of them, are now mobilised across the country to assist the Gardaí to implement the guidelines in our industry, so that there is no bad eggs, no people, no business not adhering to the regulations, so that we can actually keep our doors open. But with regard to this announcement tonight, the Cabinet have a decision tomorrow. Does it start at the bottom of the list with regard to the number of cases and work their way up and eventually to households, or does it deal with the household issue from the start? That's the impression that businesses across the country are looking at this issue at the moment, that this is a government that needs to deal with the issue from the top down, not from the bottom up.
OK, I'm going to bring in Harry McGee. Harry, have you any more information about what Cabinet are going to be asked to do tomorrow?
Well, the leak from RTE hasn't been confirmed elsewhere, but I presume that Micheál Lehane, who's a very experienced political correspondent, is on point on this, and we must take it that the information that he's conveyed is accurate. So it seems to be level 3+. We do know that when NPHET met today, that some members of NPHET were arguing that maybe level 4 would be more appropriate to Dublin, given the increase in incidents over the past week and 10 days. And as we have seen, the profile of cases, even though most of the cases are still in the under 45 cohort, the number of people who are older who are getting infection is also increasing. And the hospital and ICU admissions will inevitably go up. They're a drag factor, and I think, as we've seen elsewhere, they're going to go up, not as sharply as they did in March and April, but this is the way that things are going, and the situation is becoming very serious in Dublin, and I think it's going to be level 3+. The irony of all of this is only 2 days ago the government deemed that Dublin was level 2 or level 2.5, and I think it was slightly churlish of the government to not distinguish Dublin from the rest of the country. I think the messaging of it was very important, that people in Dublin need to realise the import of what's happening there and the steps that are necessary in order to curb the spread of the disease. Just in relation to what the other panellists have been saying as well, in relation to the actual measures that might be employed, you have to kind of agree with them, because Paul Cullen, my colleague, has been complaining that it's very hard to get accurate data on a granular level as to where the clusters are happening, why they're happening, etc. For example, when they decided to restrict the number of people who are allowed to go to sports events, Katie, the GAA and other organisations looked for the data that supported that, and there were some comments made But I don't think that data ever materialised. And I think that you need to be able to see data on a granular level so that people are aware of where the clusters are taking place, why they're taking place, and the appropriate action that should take place as well.
Okay.
And you'd have to agree with the panellists in relation to, you know, what's the reason?
What's the basis for this?
Yeah, for increasing because, restrictions on pubs and not in other areas of Irish society.
Indeed. I want to bring in Chris, Dr. Chris Luke in Cork. Are you hearing us down there, Chris?
I am, Katie.
Are you surprised at this move or this reported move, recommendation from NPHET?
I'm not particularly surprised, although obviously it would be nicer if it was slightly more smoothly calibrated. And I can certainly understand the concern, the consternation and the sense that it's not particularly coherent. But you know, I've been tracking COVID like everybody else globally over the last 6 to 9 months, and I've not seen any country where they've been politically perfect in communicating the issues. But I do think that Harry has put his finger on the issue, and you know, it is said that the bedrock of epidemiology is careful, fastidious data collection, at, you know, by individuals on the ground, whether it be in a stadium or in a restaurant or in a hospital or whatever. And I do think that there's a sense that the data are lacking. I also think
Is the data lacking, do you think, or is it being withheld from us?
No, I think that there are large gaps in the data collation. And I have said before that I do think that there should be more narrative coming from the government. There should be more, you know, stories to explain how visitors in certain institutions have passed on COVID and how there is COVID resurgent again in certain hospitals, or so I'm hearing. You know, and I'd love to know about, you know,
What are you hearing about that?
Well, I'm just hearing that there are clusters showing up in the last few days in various institutions, and staff are being asked to self-isolate with considerable, you know, impact and reverberation around the staffing of various institutions. So I just think that it's very, very important that there is a constant, you know, accentuation on good, clear, coherent communication with both data and with narrative, with, you know, explanatory stories.
Yeah, David Cullen, I'm trying to get in there.
I think the response from Adrian Cummins there in relation to the point that was put about pubs and restaurants and a small minority of them that may not be acting by the rules was incredible leadership when he said that they should be closed. To punish all pubs and restaurants for a tiny minority is wrong. We passed emergency legislation that gives an Garda Síochána the power to deal with those ones. It's incredibly unfair now what's been asked. And when Harry talks about the granular data in terms of how we make these decisions, he's right. But worse than that, when you look then at what constitutes moving a city or county or region from, we'll say, level 2 to level 3 or level 3 to level 4. It talks about things like additional cases, increased numbers, higher risk. But there's no numbers behind it. And it's very difficult then for people to understand what's happening. But it's worse then when they, if you're a tourist and you've come in and you look at, here's the government's plan, level 3, and I read it and say, OK, pubs can open with some restrictions, and then you find out pubs and restaurants are closed. It makes complete mockery of what was launched last week, and I have every sympathy for pub and restaurant owners right across Dublin who will be feeling very aggrieved here.
We just got a text in just back from a meal in a restaurant tonight, and there are very few more controlled environments than I have been in all week than this restaurant. This is John in Galway. Timmy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's well recognised now that the virus is heading out of control in this city. I heard some figures quoted today that there was over 200 per 100,000 on a 14-day average. Now, that would put us, in from a Dublin perspective, way up there. So we have to put in place measures to try to control that. I think from children's mental health point of view, we have to keep children playing sports. We have to keep people active in society, and we have to try and do it in conjunction with everything else. And if the decision is taken, and I have no idea whether it will or won't be to move ahead with this tomorrow, then appropriate supports, exactly as Breed has said, have to be put in place to support the employees. Because on the one hand, David, with the greatest of respect to you, and you know I have good regard for you, you can't take the views of the public health doctors. Well, you can't take the views of the public health doctors on the one hand and dismiss it on the other.
I don't dismiss it. I can answer that question directly if you want.
What's been talked about tonight, the information that Micheál Lehane seems to have gotten hold of, is the advice from public health doctors. So you either accept what they have to say on the one hand Or you don't.
Now, Timmy, with the greatest respect, the government has been
dismissing. Flying around the
government
studio
has
tonight.
Been dismissing the advice left, right, and centre. I said at the start, of course, I accept the advice, but we all understand. And NPHET have said this themselves. They give advice, Timmy. The government has to have wider social and economic considerations, and then it all has to make sense. And it doesn't make sense to me when you have a plan that says one thing, but then you do something else. And as Harry pointed out, the granular data doesn't exist. It's very subjective in areas, and I don't think that's fair. I just fundamentally don't believe that a decision to close controlled environments where we've had very few infections in pubs and restaurants, and the vast majority I've been in, and I was in one today, on a table of two, separated, proper infection control measures, proper social distancing, and they're now being punished. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense, and it's fair to point that out.
All we can comment on tonight is the information that's coming from the public health doctors. There's no point in commenting on a decision of government that has yet to be made.
So
your comments tonight are aimed at public health doctors. Let's
no,
be
they're
clear.
Not. They're well,
they
not.
Are because
they are
that's,
not.
Well, David, with respect, that's the only information that we have available to us tonight is what Mihalahan has come to understand.
No, he did.
Is
he
information.
Also said that he
did.
He
did go on to say, Timmy Dooley, that senior figures are tonight indicating that government will agree to the proposal.
But with respect, the cabinet hasn't met. And like for anyone now to try and have a debate
sure,
or a
that.
Conversation
okay, I want to let
about
in.
Decisions that haven't met, but the meeting hasn't even taken place. So let's just pull back from
Breed Smith, get back in there.
Okay, with all this respect, flying back and forth, I want to show a little bit of respect to Timmy's remark there where he agreed with me on no cuts to pandemic unemployment payment. But I'm afraid your party is in the government that has cut it today and has cut the wage subsidy scheme. But before we started the programme, you mentioned to us, Katie, that you had news of a school that had to close.
Oh, yeah.
In Kildare.
I
want to talk about the schools for a minute because that is a setting that I'm...
And I do want to go to that because I know there was a news story today about a school in Drogheda that had to shut for half its students because a large number of staff were told by their COVID app that they were close contacts, and then that materialised later, that wasn't the case. But we have we're breaking news on another school tonight, and I think maybe Harry, you might be able to confirm this to me. This will be the first school that we know has closed at this end of the pandemic. We've seen a text message and a letter from the Department of Public Health to the principal of this primary school in Kildare. I won't name the school, but I can tell you that the letter states that further cases of COVID-19 have been identified following testing organised by Public Health. Following today's risk assessment, Public Health recommend that the school would close while the investigation is ongoing. And we understand that school is now closed. Parents have been told the school will not open tomorrow and they'll be hanging on.
So the point I was getting to is that the question of outbreaks in schools was predicted. We expected it and we were worried about it and everybody talked about it all summer. It's happening, and it's happening in an atmosphere where the schools are under-resourced. There is no doubt about it. They went and opened up schools without the proper resources. So we had 420 schools lost a teacher this year in the assessment of the pupil-to-teacher ratio. Now, they can appeal that. Last year, there were 70-odd lost a teacher. And this is in the middle of a pandemic. It is just crazy stuff. So this mixed messaging doesn't help to win the support of the communities. And we're not looking at where the real problems are. And I think we can get distracted about whether the restaurants close for 3 weeks or whatever. But there are serious underlying systemic issues here. We can call on the guards to check on people's homes. I would not agree with that. We have never sent the guards, or they've never gone into the meat plants, for example. Have they ever gone in to check what's going on in nursing homes, what went on in nursing homes? No, they haven't. So I think we need to be very careful about putting the blame on ordinary people. My experience is the vast majority of ordinary people adhere to the public health guidelines.
Well, let me just put this text to you, actually. Katie, why are the off-licences not closed? The queues in Dublin for the off-licences are unbelievable, and the amount of alcohol being sold is going into houses for parties and gatherings. That's a text from Mary.
I think that's a really fair point, and I think that's something that has yet to be tackled. House parties aren't, they're not. There's not an association of house parties that you can kind of say, guys, you have to shut down the house parties nationwide. But at the same time, there are other means by which the inclination by people to have house parties can be subdued. And one of the ways that could possibly be done would be to tackle the amount of alcohol that's been sold. And we've seen the figures this year that the sale of the off sales of alcohol have increased hugely this year. And it is something that will have to be addressed by government, especially if they are trying to close down other settings where people socialise. Just in relation to the school thing.
Sorry, but before we go back to that, I just want to put that to Chris Luke, who'll be very familiar with the fallout from lots of sales of off-licence alcohol.
It's a very good point, Katie. I mean, the problem with alcohol, insofar as we can talk about it as a single issue in terms of public health, I mean, it's more of an off-licence than an on-licence problem. And that's the case, you know, for the last 20, 30 years. And we've seen the advantage of the minimum pricing exercise in Scotland, which has reduced the overall volume of alcohol being consumed. And equally, we saw the effect of banning alcohol sales in South Africa in the last few months. And the corollary of the sales ban was a, you know, precipitous drop in the number of alcohol-related cases of violence, domestic violence and accidents. So I think actually there might be a case for a temporary, steep increase in off-licence fees. And I have to say, you know, I'm with people like Harry and Adrian.
Sorry, when you say off-licence fees, as in
off-license prices
for
alcohol,
bought and,
you know,
okay.
Yeah, sorry. And, you know, I'm also one of those unusual doctors that thinks that a well-run pub is a thing of beauty. Conversely, a badly run premises is a source of nightmare for both the health service and the police. So I agree with someone who said earlier that licensed premises should be visited regularly, and premises that are badly run should be shut immediately, to encourage the others.
And what we're not dealing with here is the elephant in the room, which is testing and tracing. And the bedrock of getting all of this right is having the very best testing regime that we can have. In the plan that was announced last week, there was no ambition at all, no figures or numbers or targets in relation to how many tests would be carried out a week. There was no target in relation to rapid turnaround time. There was a commitment to recruit additional staff. We raised that months ago. Mary Lou MacDonald raised this directly with Micheál Martin a number of weeks ago, and he said, well, we don't need to do 100,000 tests a week. He raised it with Leo Varadkar when he was Taoiseach, and he said the same, and now we're paying the price for that. So I believe that all of us politically, whether we're in government or in opposition, need to get testing and tracing right. And here's the final point to make on this issue. The plan that was announced, as well as the regulations, by the way, which went up on the website last night, the HSE website, there was no discussion in the Dáil, no debate on the plan. We asked for government time. So the only opportunity I have, Timmy, to ask questions of government representatives is in studios like this. And the government hired a PR firm to help them launch it, and I believe made a mess of their own press conference. And we can see then Dublin in three.
Well, I think Tenio were actually saying today that they had very limited involvement in the launch of the document.
No debate in the Dáil. That's just not good enough.
I think it's important to have a debate about it, David, and you're having that opportunity here to discuss it as you will.
Can I just ask you one thing, though, Timmy, just in relation to what we are hearing today in terms of what's likely to go before Cabinet tomorrow, is likely to come out, this 3 plus some extra recommendations. Can we really be 3 days out of this absolute rock solid, easy to follow plan, colour coded so you know that, okay, if it's this level, that'll happen. If it's that level, this will happen. And that we already have gone from 5 levels to 7 levels. There is an issue there, surely.
Well, I don't think there is, actually. There is if you want to find an issue. If you want to have something to quibble about, you can worry about where the comma and the dot and the various colours were at.
But this is about clarity and confidence.
Well, with respect,
and knowing what we need to do,
it's about what public health doctors are making decisions based on a very fast-moving situation.
Well, then maybe the 5-level plan wasn't a great idea to start out with.
Well, I think you have to set out some broad parameters, and there's flexibility within that. I mean, what we're looking at here is trying to isolate the virus to a particular area and to try and flatten that curve again. Now, we could go back to the beginning, as we did in March, and close down and lock the whole country. Nobody's suggesting that's the right thing to do now. There's a significant body of evidence based on the decisions that were taken in relation to Kildare, Laois and Offaly. And the approaches taken there on an individual basis worked in flattening the virus, reducing the spread and getting it under control again. A lot more difficult in Dublin because of the size and scale of what's happening. But the numbers are spiralling out of control. look, at I get and fully understand the pressure that that's putting on so many different people. And where I do agree with Breed, government will have to address the significant impact that it's having on the lives and livelihoods of
people.
Just let me finish for a second.
But this is very important. So are you saying that you absolutely agree with Breed that the cuts to the PUP payment that have been introduced this week, that are about to happen now, should stop?
I think that should be reversed.
Reversed, well, is it?
In Dublin, I think we're going to we have to look at that again. Of course we have to.
Why?
That's my personal view. Because the reality is, if you're putting new measures in Dublin, as happened in Kildare, and there was good engagement with the Chambers of Commerce and other operations in Kildare, Laois and Offaly to address the impact that was having on businesses who had already started up again.
So if you're living in Donegal and your PUP is reduced by 50 or 100 euro, you're equally impacted on.
And I have no inside information that that's what's going to happen. But if we are going to impact negatively again on businesses that were up and running and we're going to take them down again, then that has to be addressed. And I'm sure there'll be engagement around that.
Jimmy, there are 209,000 people still on the pandemic unemployment payment. Breed, even
I have
before
a constituency office as well.
Dublin.
I know that full well. And I also know that there's going to be a very significant impact on the livelihoods of people when the payment moratoriums on mortgages, on car loans and all that comes to an end in this month. So nobody is suggesting that this is going to be easy. So we'll be at this for a long time.
Just in relation to those payment moratoriums, because as you say, a huge number of people are only barely staying afloat purely because those bills haven't... Is there any work going on to go back to the banks and to the various other agencies and say, can we continue this?
Yeah, I would hope so, because the reality is that... There are so, as you say, there are so many families, and I know them in my own constituency throughout County Clare, who have been in contact with me in recent weeks saying, look, we're coming to the end of the moratorium. The mortgage is back on. The two car loans are back on. There's a student loan there that hasn't been paid. Kids are going back to college again. So people are in really desperate situation. I can't speak for the government, but I know as a public representative,
is anyone saying this apart from having bitching about the media and everybody else at the parliamentary party meetings?
I'm not bitching about the media.
The only people mentioned
are you talking about
us?
Like, who was talking
Nobody
about that yesterday?
Nobody has complained about it.
Well, bottom line is people are talking about it internally. People are discussing it. I had a conversation with Michael McGrath about this on a number of occasions. He didn't need me to tell him. He has a constituency, he has constituents, as does every other minister and every other...
It's very unfair to be saying that or to characterise the very genuine concerns that have been raised by people as just quibbling. Here's the facts. Of the five levels that we were told would be very clear, we've had level 2.5 and now we have level 3.5. That's confusion. We have confusion as well in relation to the PUP payment and the wage subsidy scheme, while now additional restrictions are being brought in place. And I don't think it's fair, and I know you weren't directing it at him, but when Adrian was representing his members earlier in relation to the shock that he feels, that isn't quibbling. And the
so
fact
with respect,
is,
no, I wasn't talking about Adrian quibbling. I was talking about the likes of you quibbling. And you had no issues. You had no issues with Sinn Féin representatives breaking all the guidelines up at the Bobby Story funeral when it suited you. So, that's the kind of stuff that we need to talk about. No, but you're trying to suggest that I'm undermining Adrian Cummins, whom I know and whom I had a conversation with in a meeting yesterday about these issues. And I'll represent him and his members to the best of my ability. But let's not play politics with people's lives.
You generalised when you talked about quibbling. And I'm certainly not the one that's playing politics.
Well, no, you were
all.
The one that was going
what
2.5, 3.5, 4.5. Fine, if it doesn't suit you.
What I pointed out, if Timmy can relax for a second, is that what I would prefer to see is to have a proper debate in the Dáil where we can have a plan that we can all get behind. I want to get behind a plan that works. I want to support measures that make sense. And my point is, when Timmy simply dismisses what
are
genuine
concerns...
Well,
you tell me when's the last time you did that?
Genuine
got
concerns.
Got behind any plan.
We supported
so you've
every
ran,
bit
you've ran
of
from
emergency
every opportunity.
Timmy,
you've
listen,
ran from every opportunity
really
to be
are.
In government
you should have
in the 26
Timmy.
Counties.
Because we,
I know
we
it would support, make it easier for you
we,
if I did.
We supported David. Every bit of emergency legislation that was brought in by the government during this pandemic. And all you're doing now is just trying to engage in nonsense at a time when people are very confused.
I'm calling you out for what you're doing, which is is trying to instill a lack of confidence in an effort by a government to deal with a crisis, trying to come up with solutions in real time to a virus that's mutating and changing at a very significant rate. And we're trying to bring a level of cohesion to this. The public health doctors are bringing forward advice, and yes, that changes by the day. And if you listened,
well, you're trying to Michael Ryan, Dooley, but are you succeeding?
Back to Michael Ryan of the WHO, when he said at the beginning of all of this, if you have to have the right answer, then that's the wrong approach. You've got to be able to be flexible and change, and not just be about scoring political points and being assured that what you do is going to be the right answer in 6 months' time. When you're faced with a crisis, you have to address it and you have to give it your best effort. And if the advice changes and the information and the facts change over the course of 3 days or 5 days, then you have to react again. And that's what being in government is about, David. It's not about getting it right all the time.
I believe the message has radically changed. The message from the beginning was, we are all in this together. We need social solidarity. That is working one way. And the way it has been taken away is from ordinary people. When they cut the pandemic unemployment payment and the wage subsidy scheme, which 390,000 workers still rely on, the cuts are massive. You're looking at people going from 410 euro a week down to 203. That's a massive cut. And as we've said, the bills don't recognise the virus. They'll just keep coming. And it seems now the government is refusing to recognise bills that don't recognise the virus. And unless we have total social solidarity, how are we going to get people to buy into the most confusing plan that was ever put in ink on paper? It is confusing. It is not clear. And certainly the overall message is we aren't all in this together.
Can I bring a little, because we were talking about schools earlier.
Oh yeah,
on.
I did want to bring you back in on that. Yeah, before you start off, I'll just read a text about schools that came in here. Hi, the schools should never have opened fully. It should have been gradual. There was no space for our schools in our schools for social distancing. It's extremely unpleasant for teachers and students to be wearing masks and sitting in one spot 28 hours a week. It would cost the government nothing to reduce students' timetables down and reduce the strain on schools, from Paul. But sorry, go on. Yeah, a big move today that we're hearing, that school has been closed.
It has, but I mean, that was always inevitable, that once schools reopened, there was always going to be outbreaks. And the countries that have managed the coronavirus best, including Denmark, have had outbreaks in school. And I think the difficulty is if you allow it to become unfettered. And Israel did that, and suddenly they had a couple of thousand cases, and then they had to close the schools again. So you have to observe social distancing as much as you possibly can. I think it's unfortunate that the school closed in Kildare today, but we shouldn't be all that surprised by it. But rather, before people start getting into the Corporal Jones in Darren's army mode and say, don't panic, I think you have to look at this in the round. I think there have been 35 positive cases in school identified so far, most of them in classes. And when you look at the size of the education sector in Ireland and how long it's been reopened with, and I appreciate the difficulties that Breege outlined in her contribution then, I think that it would be premature to start making any move in terms of closing schools.
Absolutely.
I think you need far more serious outbreaks, Harry, before you'd even begin to consider that.
We need to resource them properly. That's my argument. And they're not properly resourced. I know so many teachers who are at the end of their tether trying to manage this. Class sizes are too big. They always have been too big in this country. They're the largest or the most intensive pupil teacher ratio across Europe. So that wasn't dealt with before the pandemic, and it hasn't been dealt with since.
But there's no quick fix for that, unfortunately,
no,
Breege.
Indeed,
and
there
I think
isn't,
that's going to take years before that situation. We've been talking about
it took a stroke of the pen to get rid of a teacher from 420 schools this week.
There are, of course, there are issues, but I mean, not all of them can be resolved. But you know, and they have to deal with the hand that they've been dealt.
But I think, Harry, the questions, Harry, sorry to cut across you, because when you're not in front of me, it's harder to to cut across you. but I was going to say that I think the questions that will be asked, though, in relation to this school or whatever happens in other schools, is there is supposed to be a very, you know, strict plans. We all know, if we all have kids in school, we know that there's the pod and then there's the bubble and then there's the mixing in the yard, and there's all whole levels to ensure that if there is a case or two cases, that it only takes out a very small, you know, the individual close contacts will be very small. But obviously, that wasn't happening, or they're not, they can't be sure that has happened in the school. Well, that's why there's
I mean, you're a parent. I'm a parent, and we know what our own kids are like, and we know how difficult it is to keep children separated in that way at all times. And I mean, human nature, kids, and kids want to be together, and you know, even though they will be in pods in school, I think it's quite hard for teachers. And again, the resources question comes in, but it is very hard for them to separate them completely. And all they can do it as best as they possibly can.
Yeah, and I think we should actually do a shout out to all teachers who are working absolutely. In such difficult situations.
And I would agree with Harry that we have done an extraordinary job in our schools, and the numbers are quite low. Of course, we were going to have some levels of infection in schools. Teachers have went above and beyond the call of duty. Headmasters, schools have done.
Do you want to congratulate Norma Foley for the great job she's done?
I think that the department and the minister has done well, absolutely. But I would agree with the Breed that there is additional resources needed to make sure that we keep them open. And I think that was the point that was being made. Nobody's arguing that schools should close, but we have to recognise that the huge effort from all those teachers across the state, including where my own kids go to school, I think was an extraordinary effort. And we have managed to keep the levels very, very low, which I think is a very successful situation.
Okay. We might pay the teachers properly now and get rid of all that inequality that they've been protesting about for the last 10 years.
Okay, I just want to give you a flavour of some of the texts we're getting in. We're getting a big reaction in tonight. If restaurants are closed, it gives people less options to socialise, and inevitably this will result in more house parties. Spread the load across restaurants, which are safer environments, says Alan. As a pensioner, the restaurant has been a lifeline. As well as the economics, there is a mental health aspect for people, says Carmel in Rathmines. The Irish Times reports that the sale of take-home alcohol in recent weeks is almost 40% higher a week than this time last year. 40% higher. This represents €1 million euro per hour. Where do you think people are drinking this? Some at home, but regulated pubs have moved to unregulated house parties.
Well, there's an idea. Have a solidarity tax on the drinks industry to keep the PUP payments and the wage subsidy scheme in place.
COVID tax.
A solidarity tax.
Okay, I want to go. We've done the schools, the restaurants, the pubs, meat plants, which your colleague Piers Doherty, David, raised in the Dáil. I just want to give people a flavour of those exchanges in the Dáil earlier today.
We now know that there were 226 cases associated with one plant back in July. We understand that that plant was in Cork and that the plant was never closed down. Yesterday, we learned of another outbreak in a meat plant in Waterford, and this is causing huge concern at this point in time. At least 28 cases are associated with this cluster. Local media in Waterford have reported that earlier this week, workers from the plant were being bused to work on board a packed 50-seater bus, every seat full, standing room only, and at that time, there were already cases confirmed in that plant. Now, that is shocking, Taoiseach. The meat barns are playing with people's lives in the interests of profit, plain and simple. What hold does the meat barns have over Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil?
Now, yeah, that bus that Piers Doherty mentioned there, I think people might have seen a picture of that on social media. We retweeted it on the @latedebate.rte. On that Twitter account this evening if you want to see it. It's basically a bus packed full of meat plant workers, obviously leaving very early in the morning for their shift. No social distancing possible at all on that bus, which would be shocking enough until you hear as well today that there was 28 confirmed cases in that plant. David, Waterford went from being top of the class in terms of incidence of cases to being, I think in the top four for the rate of the number per 100,000.
And I think this is why the outbreak in this meat plant is so troubling. First of all, it was 28 cases up until yesterday. That has increased again today. I don't know by how many. There were 17 cases in Waterford, and it's been said that some of those are associated with this cluster. For the last number of weeks, local journalists, national journalists and local politicians have been trying to get answers from that meat plant. Nothing. Absolute silence. Despite questions being asked. It was only yesterday I had it confirmed from the Minister for Health that it was 28 cases. He wasn't able to name the company, but he said it was related to a meat plant. And then this morning, from pressure from politicians, including government representatives and also from national and local media representatives, the company issued a very short statement without going into any details. And I believe that they have a responsibility, and there is a responsibility for all the information to be out there. That report about the bus was in the Waterford News and Star. And I think the company have to come out and say, was that the case? There's all sorts of other information that's floating about social media as well. And I don't believe that's helpful. I believe that there is a responsibility for companies in these situations to put the full facts out there. Now, the points Pierce was making was, for whatever reason, meat plants have not been held accountable to the extent that they should. And this is, and I would have to say, even before COVID, we've had issues in relation to low pay and all of those issues. But in relation to
what should
to
be
COVID,
happening, like in that factory, there's people in your constituency working in that meat plant. Should it be shut down? Is that what would you want? What should happen in that
when
scenario?
When I was in putting questions to representatives of meat plants, but also to the HSE and to the HSA and others in the COVID committee, and then when we heard from trade union representatives as well, we were told that the big problem here is the fact that we have very low paid workers, a lot of them foreign workers, who live in very cramped circumstances, and that their conditions in their work was also very cramped, and obviously the nature of the work as well, and that you need to have very, very rigorous, very robust processes in place in terms of testing and tracing. So then when you hear that there's buses collecting people from different points, full to the rafter, standing room only, dropping people off to a meat plant where there's already clusters in a city that had almost no levels of the virus, I think it's just quite incredible. I don't understand how that is allowed to happen when we know this is so serious that a county or city could go up a level because of this.
Timmy Dooley, what has been, like, we've known now for quite some time that meat factories, not just in Ireland, it's a phenomenon across the world, that they are a place where this virus can spread very rapidly. So what in practical terms has been done in terms of accommodation for these workers, in terms of sick pay and benefits for these workers? Anything that can, surely anything that would disincentivise these workers from putting their hand up and saying they have symptoms is a huge problem.
Well, the simple fact of the matter is that some food processing plants where there's very cold temperatures in place, the virus spreads quite easily and lasts a lot longer. The vast majority of the food companies, including meat processing plants, have acted very good, have
what
worked
about
well
the sick
to
pay,
ensure
the sick pay issue.
Yeah, well, that has to be, in my view, that should be sorted, because that's a no-brainer. But the reality is,
so whose job is it to ensure
I think the one thing that needs to be sorted is the kind of behaviour that happened in the Waterford plant, because that's not acceptable. And I just wonder where the HSA are at on that kind of situation.
Timmy, Meat Industry Ireland recently said that they're refusing to implement sick pay scheme. They will not have a compulsory sick pay scheme.
I'm not a representative for Meat Industry Ireland.
Yeah, but it's not all rosy in the garden like you're painting it.
I'm not painting it. It's been rosy, but I'm painting the picture that many of the food processing plants, they're not all in the meat sector, where temperatures are cold and where the potential for the virus to spread is real. Many of them have put in place the appropriate controls, and even with the level of testing that was there, COVID has not been detected
in
those environments.
If you're a low-paid worker, Timmy Dooley, and there isn't a sick pay scheme in your employment, and you have X amount of money to pay rent, to send back to where you come from, maybe all the challenges that somebody in that position has, are you going to put up your hand if you've got a ticket in your throat and you're getting on that bus to go to that meet?
Yeah, I'm very well aware of that situation, and I think that has to be resolved, whether it be directly by government or whether it be in some relationship with the Meat Industry Ireland or the food sector generally. Yes, that is a reason why people who are perhaps showing some symptoms are not isolating them, and that needs to be addressed, and without delay. But I also think that there's wider issues in relation to the kind of issues that has arisen in Waterford, which is the issue around that tightly packed groups of people coming to work, where there's inappropriate levels of social distancing in the work environment, and the appropriate measures and guards and masking isolation is not in place. And that's a matter for the HSA.
Okay, I want to bring in.
It's also a matter for government.
I want to bring in Chris Luke. Are you still there, Chris?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah. I want, and we're talking about the meat plants there. I'm so conscious we're nearly out of time, but I did want to touch on the nursing homes issue as well, because we are seeing and hearing that there is a danger now that this virus could get back into nursing homes, which is, of course, the nightmare scenario. And there is issues there as well, isn't there, in terms of healthcare workers and sick pay and people on precarious contracts. And that, and we know that that was one of the routes, or one of the main routes into nursing homes of the virus the last time.
Yes, I mean, the way that the virus spreads is from human to human. And while meat plants obviously have occupational hazards such as, you know, like zoonoses, which are, you know, diseases you get from carcasses, it's often the accommodation which is the problem, and the transport, so people being bussed in congested vehicles. Similarly, you'll have some nursing home facilities in the country where the staff are moving, A, they're moving between nursing homes, perhaps as locum agency staff, and B, many of them may be clustered together in cramped accommodation. So it's a relatively similar problem in the sense of the staffing being low paid, and it's difficult to recruit staff. But, you know, these are issues that have got to be sorted. And, you know the ancient notion of boycott comes to mind when it comes to meat plants. I don't want to go into get too political or anything. But, I mean, there have got to be ways to address the egregious practices in some meat plants. When it comes to nursing homes, you know, I do think that they were slightly forgotten in the early anxieties in dealing with the pandemic in the early part of the year. And obviously there was great anxiety and fear within the nursing home sector about the provision of PPE and training, and of course adequate staffing. And, you know, within the hospitals, we were very concerned about transfer of patients from the nursing homes into the hospitals and vice versa, mm-hmm. because there wasn't enough testing going on, and there was no clear reason for transferring people for simple nursing care from nursing homes into hospitals, other than that they hadn't got the staff within the nursing homes. So all of this is up for debate.
Indeed, and I'm just looking.
Might be a bit late to be debating it now, though, if we're seeing an increase in the numbers. And that's my problem, because I'm on the COVID committee, as Davey is, and it's very frustrating, the lack of urgency, particularly about the nursing home situation, that you get from the health department and from the HSE. You get answered a lot of questions, but you also get a huge amount of obfuscation.
What are you most worried about, Breed, now in terms of nursing homes? Because so many people have, you know, the most precious people to them in nursing homes.
Yeah, well, I mean, the doctor just described it there, where he said a lot of these are agency staff. They move from place to place. They're low paid. They live in crowded by necessity because of their low pay. And they can transmit or carry the virus around with them. And we learned yesterday from the Department of Health that they don't even know if those agency workers have a sick pay scheme. I know they don't. And I know many of workers who answered the call for Ireland Care workers and nurses, and were taken on by the HSE through agencies and given no sick pay scheme. And it's something that should be dealt with urgently. How the hell can you say, I have a sore throat, I think I have a temperature, if you know that if I go out sick, I have absolutely zero pay at the end of the week? It's very, very difficult for people. And these are the frontline workers that we hugely rely on to look after our elderly, to look after our loved ones. And we can't afford
These are people, as you say, they're living paycheck to paycheck.
They don't have a reserve.
There isn't a float there.
We have three reports now into nursing homes that were conducted over the last number of months. One by the COVID committee that myself and Breed sit on, one by HICWA, and one by the expert panel group that was set up by government. And they all pretty much say the same thing. They point to all of those issues that Breed talked about in relation to low pay, the difficulty that nursing homes had in keeping staff, staff moving from different settings. But they also, the HICWA report, examined 44 residential care settings that were had high levels of the virus. 39 had multiple failures in terms of meeting the requirements and the guidelines. And what they all found again is the lack of an overall statutory clinical framework for nursing homes. And the expert panel report makes a whole lot of recommendations. The immediate priority is to keep people safe, and we have to do everything we can to keep residents safe in nursing homes. But I can tell you, as a future member of the Oireachtas Health Committee when it's established, I'll be assuring that expert panel report and all of its recommendations will be on the agenda every single week, and we will make sure that all of those recommendations are finally implemented, because we're hearing it in relation to sick pay, we look at it in the future. We're hearing it in relation to the PUP, but we look at it in the future, as if government representatives are commentators. They're in government. Get on with your job. And you see, when it comes to issues like these older people and having a statutory framework for older people, it should be in place already. But we now have an expert panel report which is saying do it, and I want to make sure.
Do we need a statutory inquiry?
I believe we do.
Yeah, I'm asking Timmy.
I think in the fullness of time, there will be appropriate level of investigation into everything that has happened and a series of learnings.
Timmy, did you hear what was said at the COVID committee yesterday?
I'm not a member of the committee.
But it was well reported. And it was basically that so many people who lost loved ones in those nursing homes who are desperately seeking answers as to what they were terribly worried about the care their loved ones got in those last weeks and days, and that their grieving process cannot...
Absolutely. Cannot, and I have people come to my constituency
without
the same
getting
concerns.
These answers.
And I think the fullness of
time is not really a good answer for those people.
I just don't think you can do it immediately. I think it will be done in time. I think there will be a lot of learnings from everything that has happened, from the reactions, and for perhaps the delayed reaction in addressing and dealing with the nursing homes. But that's not to cast blame on public health doctors or public health officials who were dealing with a crisis in a firestorm, effectively, and they did their best. So it's not about blaming, for sure, the loved the relatives of loved ones who passed away with COVID in the nursing homes would like to see a comprehensive report put together so that the kind of situation
and
never
they, I
evolves.
I think would like a commitment
again,
to
about,
a full
it's
inquiry.
Not about blaming. I know the game. Like, try to blame everyone, David. Everyone was wrong. Reality was people were to the pin of their collar from a public health point of view trying to address this crisis.
I'm going to have to cut across you because we're out of time. I have to take a break before we go. I just wanted another breaking story in relation to this evening. Up to 20 golfers on a holiday in the Midlands have tested positive for COVID-19, prompting the HSC to issue a circular detailing their movements to GPs who are practising in the region. That's a story in the Irish Times, I believe. Richard Chambers in Virgin Media was also reporting that.
The Rocky Golf Society again?
It wasn't, I think.
Harry?
It was another golfing society, 40, and they were playing in Esker Hills, which is a well-known golf course in that region. At least 14 of them were playing together, and they all seemed to have stayed in the one place. But that's a very serious development tonight.
That's a serious outbreak, yeah. That could cause major ripples throughout the Midlands. I'm going to have to take that break. Stay with us.
The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And that is all we have time for tonight and indeed for this week. I want to thank my panel here in studio with me tonight and Dr. Chris Luke and Harry McGee in our other studios. Tonight's programme was produced by Brian Lally. Research was by Andrew Fleming. The broadcast coordinator was Elaine Conlon and Gar Duffy was on sound. And now it's over to Colm Murray with apologies for the slight lateness of our time to Late Date.